cosmic vastness of space, it lies before us, a looming, dark mystery. It stares down from high above. But what really lies beyond our galaxy? Do we rule the stars, being the only life forms of existence? Or are there others? Sightings of strange objects in the sky have been reported by millions of people. Even accounts of visitations of creatures from other planets are documented on a weekly basis. One of the more unfortunate incidents is the capture of unwilling victims for experiments and observations. Where do these creatures come from? What do they want on Earth? Are they friends? Or do they watch our planet with evil intentions, waiting for the right time to slip past our uncaring eyes and reveal their hidden agenda? We can only pray that day will never come, and if it does, pray we are ready. Happy holidays, and ho ho ho, it's B-Movie Mania. Stop, boys.
I just scared
boys.
The crap out of my dogs.
You scared the shit out of me. I didn't expect you guys to do that after my nice little intro about space aliens.
Mike, that was a great intro.
We didn't do it. I think they're in your apartment.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Where? Shit.
Probably the
Mike, you really channeled your inner Criswell on that one. That was good.
Oh, well, to be honest, this. So we watched the sequel of a movie for this holiday special, and this is actually the intro paragraph or monologue from the first movie, because I only got to watch about the beginning of it and see all this and realize, oh, this would be perfect for this beautiful podcast and this wonderful occasion, and it's a good way to describe and introduce our listeners to Feeders 2, Sleigh Bells.
Mike, thank you for citing your sources.
Yeah, you know, right off the top, too. I didn't even wait till the end. Speaking of sighting, I'm Michael Hayes, and you're listening to the B-Movie Mania Holiday Special. Thank you for tuning in. With me, as always, is the jolly Chris Hudson. Oh, no. And the wonderful and merry Jason Hulls. God damn it!
Hey, so I just want to say off the top here, I'm pretty sure at least half of this movie was just the aliens making noises. So I think it's only fitting that half the podcast is us making alien noises.
Here's the thing. All right, listeners, so the awful noise you've been hearing is a very good representation of what the aliens in this movie sound like.
Are they in pain constantly?
No idea.
You know, I really want to see a version of this movie with subtitles for the aliens. Just to know what the fuck they're talking about.
Just a special release.
That would be amazing.
Okay, Polonia, let's see it, buddy. Oh. Re-release this special edition, please. Fuck, man. Well, yeah, so basically, there's a movie called Feeders 2, dear listener. And it is a kind of a famous movie, actually. It's by John and Mark Polonia. Who are two famous B-movie, you know, indie directors.
I'd never heard of until this movie.
Neither had I, but you can go down a rabbit hole of their history. Holy shit.
One of them is still making movies.
Yeah, still doing stuff. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Like, stuff I haven't watched, I don't think, but stuff I've definitely seen and almost watched, and now I'm going to watch all of it.
Well,
because,
and
fuck,
this movie came out in 1998. But dude, like,
oh my god!
In the very beginning, like when they're with the logos and everything, it's almost like, you know how today a lot of people try to replicate that look and feel of the 80s. Was this made like in modern times trying to replicate the 80s or something? It was, a very vivid presentation of the 80s.
I found this dusty VHS tape, and I'm popping it in the VCR. That's what the opening reminded me of.
Yeah.
Just,
well, I'm almost certain they filmed it on probably tape.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Shot on video for sure. I think
they couldn't even afford Hi-8 at this point. It was all VHS.
I think they've said they didn't spend any money on this.
Yeah.
No, well, it's... I mean...
It shows.
I can't even... Like, the description on Amazon isn't good for this. Like, the Amazon description is, aliens invade Earth over the Christmas holidays and it's up to Santa Claus and his elves to save the world. Not a good description. No, that's not what happens in this
not
movie.
At all.
Wait, should we just do quick takes? I mean, that might sort of...
Yeah, fuck it. All right. Yeah, let's do quick takes.
Quick takes!
Jay, what's your quick take of this film?
Well, okay. My quick take is also kind of a mini synopsis, but really for people who've listened to a lot of this podcast. And it's...
Oh, God.
If you've ever wanted fungicide meets aliens on Christmas... This is the stocking stuffer for you.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Hudson?
It's too bad our listeners won't be able to see the subtitles, but my quick take is...
Wait, you know, Chris, I actually speak...
God.
I took some language courses, and if... Chris, could you start that over, and I'll just say it what... I'll say the subtitles.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's a good...
Yeah, okay, you ready?
Thing. Okay, right here, yeah.
Go ahead. I really enjoyed this film overall. There was some good and funny parts, but I do have some criticism.
Oh, God. Well, that's a great segue for my quick take, because my quick take is, I am sorry, dear listener, that you're going to have to hear so much of this alien screaming throughout this podcast. It is the real sound effect is unlistenable to. The Chris Hudson's very accurate recreation is unlistenable. It's torture for your holiday ears, and I am sorry.
Well, I'm sure we've put it in as a sample by now, so the...
No, of course we have. Of course we have,
Jay.
So
the listeners know.
But okay. Can the listeners tell the difference between mine and the actual bit? Write us with your answers.
Fuck, guys. Okay, so the actual synopsis for this movie, I would say, is a family is preparing for Christmas, and aliens come to Earth and kill some people near in their town, and then try to kill the family. Like,
yeah,
and,
pretty much.
And you know what's really great about this movie is they just jump right into that. There is no sort of recap of the first movie that has nothing to do with this movie itself.
Okay. So yeah, in the beginning, I did look this up. This is clips from the first film, right? Like,
yeah, it's got to be.
It is.
Yeah. So I feel like I don't even need to watch the first film now.
Exactly. Like, a guy with real long hair starts telling a story where he confesses to killing his best friend. They're recording this. Some, like, people you don't see are recording it on a giant tape recorder. and then you get lots of flashes from the first film. And we should also be clear, when we're talking about these aliens, they look like little paper mache puppets.
Oh, God, they are.
And I shouldn't say... They don't look like it. They are little paper mache puppets.
With little spindly arms and legs that look like they just stuck wires or coat hangers out or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't even tell what these are.
Whatever it's the so low good, budget huh? thing you're imagining is, it's probably not even.
Yeah, your imagination is a higher budget than they had for these aliens.
I mean, the eyes are simply just colored. Like, with
like
a marker.
They're these big red circles, that are just, tempera paints.
And you know what's really great about these aliens? I don't think we've touched upon their voices, how they talk.
No. Okay, guys, we have really... to, we have, this is something that's literally just being piped into someone's ears. We can't keep doing this.
Oh, we're kidding.
Okay.
You know, I'm just going to say these two little notes I have here regarding this, and then maybe we can just move past the sound altogether. I did note that I hope that I get to make creature sounds like this for a feature film someday. I think that would be fun to do. But I also wrote, at about 15 minutes in, the roar starts to get annoying.
Oh, my God. It's so terrible.
It doesn't stop. Like, well, it stops when they're not on the screen, but anytime it jumps to them, it's like they have to just keep making the noise. It's as if when they're being filmed, it is like sucking the soul from their body, and they're just in constant pain.
I think their souls... I think these little paper mache things have souls, and they're cognizant of the fact that they're little paper mache beings, and they're in pain, and they want to die.
It's like someone Pinocchio'd them, and they became real aliens, and now they're just in pain because they have no actual organs or functioning parts.
And they remember what life was like, and this is the only noise that they can make.
They're just begging to be sent back to sweet oblivion.
Yeah, they're just
get me out of this movie.
Just stuff me with candy and hit me with a bat. Please put me out of my misery. No,
please kill me. That's what they're saying the entire time.
Yeah. That's the subtitles right
Fuck.
There.
Please kill me.
Oh, God. So after we get like this guy, this long-haired, you know, interview, whatever you want to call it, confession or whatever it is, out of this guy, we jump to the family. And they look like they're in, I don't know, 1985, Ooh, probably?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean,
they're
I
not.
Mean, I really thought we were watching Phobe for a moment.
Yeah, it's like it's like the aesthetic of the characters is very... I mean, is it the 80s or is it the 90s or is it the 80s, man? Like, the dad's got this thick-ass mustache and that's it. He's a string bean. Yeah, and then mom's got a Wisconsin haircut and...
And no emotion, really. She's just... Her line delivery is flat to the entire movie.
No one has any emotion in this film.
Alan, are you leaving work early?
I'll try, but don't hold your breath.
But today is Christmas Eve.
Tell that to my boss. He doesn't care. It's just another day to him. What's on your agenda?
Wrapping gifts.
Sounds like fun. I'll call you later.
Hey. What's Santa bringing me for Christmas?
What do you get a woman who has everything?
More.
Wonderful. That's the lovely Bernice.
That back and forth between the two at the beginning there is just fantastic. Oh. And they've got two good little helpers. You know,
they
a little boy,
kids.
A little girl.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're pretty cute. And I think they're excited
rambunctious.
To be in a movie.
Yes.
They're a little rambunctious, and one of them has a pretty bad gas problem, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
No, fuck it, right now, Chris, what are you talking about?
Oh, and Dad's got to go to work, because Dad's woken up by the feeders shining the light in his room. But that's a weird airplane. But so the kids are fighting, he says goodbye, and the cute, sweet little boy in like the head-to-toe footy pajamas... gets knocked down by his sister, and when he gets up, he just rips a loud one.
Maybe Santa will bring me some sanity for Christmas.
So oh loud. God. Literally, even the captions say loud fart, not just fart noise, or sometimes the captions for a fart will be like raspberry or something. No, it just says loud fart. It's so...
can we back up a moment here? Because I mentioned it just now, but about when the feeders arrive and they're shitty-looking flying saucers, just shine a light in the dad's face, I guess, through the window. Doesn't wake up the wife or anything. He just gets up and just looks outside. He's like, is that an airplane? I'm like, come on, dumbass. Airplanes don't hover over your house and shine lights into it. Come on.
And you have to think he'd have heard, because once the aliens appear in some sort of like, what made visual graphics on a home computer in 1998? I don't know. Avid Pro is what they had on their Macintosh Performance 638 CD, and they used that to make these little explosion things that the aliens appeared from, and then they instantly just start screaming because I think that's when they started existing.
They're beamed into existence.
Yeah.
Just the screaming begins.
Yeah, and then and the dad doesn't hear that somehow, or maybe that's why he thought it was an airplane. Maybe he heard that and thought that has to be a jet engine.
I really think that most of these characters are deaf, or maybe they have no souls too because they can't hear the soul suffering of the feeders and they just ignore it.
Maybe it's such an intense, awful sound that it's actually like outside of the human range of hearing.
Could be.
In reality. It picks up on film, but in reality you can't hear
it. But there are moments they're like screaming right outside the door and I don't fucking hear it.
You know, we're almost to a point here with where what might be one of my favorite lines of the movie. then we abruptly switch over to an old lady's house. Oh, and this is something that I did not get closure on here. So the old lady is on the phone with Bernice, the mom of the two children and the wife. She's an old lady with a cat, and the cat goes missing, and she goes looking for the cat. And she...
Fluffy!
Where's my fluffernutter?
Doesn't she call him like her big bad boy or something too?
I think so, but she definitely calls him the fluffernutter.
Yeah. Fucking, the cat, I really like that the cat goes missing because the aliens like are like in her basement somehow.
They're in everybody's basement.
But they like, the cat is hanging out on the kitchen floor. The alien downstairs makes an awful noise and glows terrifyingly red. And then the cat runs down to it, and then the alien eats it.
I gotta get me some of that.
The alien eats the cat.
Yep.
Like, I just don't understand why the cat was attracted to it.
and when you see the cat die, it's like they got a hairnet, and they put some sort of, like, goop on it and threw it against a cardboard box. And that was this to signify that the cat was dead.
You know. Actually, now that I think about it, I think that the reason why the cat went down to the basement to check this out is because now I'm a cat person. But I kind of know this. But I think the cats are attracted to the souls of the suffering, or the suffering, whatever.
Maybe the cat was going to usher its soul to the other side.
Well, it's probably going to take joy in the suffering that these little alien guys have.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Oh, wait. Can I say one more thing about the old lady here? Because she's pretty much done after this.
She is. Very much.
Yeah. She goes looking for Fluffernutter, and she goes to the basement, and she sees what's left of the cat, and it looks like, again, it looks like a pile of dark paper mache, and then the alien eats her. That's it.
Yeah.
She's done.
Yeah. We get a good scream out of her, and then she's dead.
Another great thing about these aliens is, you know, they're attacking people and eating people, and we'll find out soon that they don't just eat the elderly and their kittens. You think these aliens are kind of big, but no, they're like a foot and a half tall, 2 feet tall. Like, you can can pick these things up and just, like, beat their heads against the wall or something. It wouldn't be that hard.
And they just have, like, a peanut-shaped body with spaghetti arms and legs.
Yeah.
And then a tennis ball-sized head. And then that's it. So I don't know where all of this feeding goes into.
Yeah, because they eat all the
time. Well, maybe that's part of their pain. They keep eating, but they still have a pang of hunger. Just it won't go away.
That's probably what it is.
Also, here's another thing, too, that I took in my notes. We don't actually ever see anyone get eaten on screen.
No, that's true.
How they're killing these people. Maybe they want to feed, but since they have paper mache mouths, they can't, and that's also part of their pain and frustration. These poor aliens. They're just so never-ending torture.
I gotta stop laughing. All right, so then we go to the preacher's house because they fed on grandma, so now they're gonna go to a preacher's house.
Where was that? The mountain. It was the mountain chapel. It was like this beautiful looking chapel and against this picturesque mountain backdrop.
But wait, what preacher? Did I miss an introduction here with the preacher?
Are you kidding? Are you doing a bit?
I'm doing a bit.
The guy with the collar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That they just kind of showed.
The guy reading the Bible.
With no introduction or any sort of.
Oh, yes. Right. Right. They just jump in and he's there. Just like the woman. Yeah. They randomly jump around to different townspeople.
Yeah. I think they're just slowly making their way to the house, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, I thought there were a bunch that were beamed down into various people's basements or something. I thought there'd be a bunch of these guys.
Well, a thing, okay, about the basement, you know, like, what? There's something else going on in this church, too, because
there's a gateway to hell down there.
Oh, my. The priest goes down into the basement, and there is a gaping hole in the foundation of this church. Like, immediately your church is condemned if this hole is there.
He looks surprised.
I think this hole is like, there's like a green light coming from it or something, at least.
But the aliens did not do that. Because if the aliens did that, the guy's reaction would be, oh my God, there's a cave now that is in the foundation of, it is huge. And so and then he steps in something silver. It looks like mercury, but we never find out what that is.
Well,
I think the feeders just decided to eat a different movie for a moment, and we just caught a glimpse of it.
Well, yeah.
So at this point, you know, we jump to Alan, the dad. He's at work, and he loves his job.
Oh, boy.
He loves it a lot. His boss comes up, right? Can we just put the entire interaction in here? Because I don't think we're going to do it justice.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
Hundreds of thousands of people every year claim to see UFOs or see beings from another planet. The U.S. government flatly denies the existence of aliens, friendly or otherwise.
Parker, what do aliens have to do with insurance claims anyway?
Nothing, sir.
That's right, you stupid son of a bitch! Get back to work or spend the new year on the unemployment line!
Yes, Mr. Hatton. Merry Christmas.
I hate Christmas! And you're not leaving early either!
No problem. I better get back to work.
You asshole. You better!
Scrooge.
Yes. I was trying to capture, like, in my mind, like, what do I want to say about this? And I'm like, you know what? Just put it in.
Just put the thing in there, yeah.
And you know, I think the biggest missed opportunity this movie had is you've got the boss, you've got a villain right here. Just everyone will be rooting for the feeders to eat this guy, right?
You're right. Oh,
never see him again. He's in that one scene.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Instead, the feeders get the priest and the old lady and the pallet guy.
Yeah, because that's where that happens after this. They go, they could have killed the boss. Yeah. Even if he wasn't the main villain, they could have killed him.
Yeah.
Doesn't die. We jump to someone else that gets murdered.
Yep. It's unfortunate.
Now, the guy who gets murdered at the pallet factory at least was, like, stealing money from the pallet factory, apparently.
Because he's the evil.
I almost forgot about the pallet factory. It's just a bad guy. He's just a bad dude. He's like, they won't miss a couple $100. And he puts it in his pocket, and the feeders just kill him. That's it. He's just another guy to kill.
Oh, God. So, they kill a bunch of people, and then it's Christmas Eve, actual evening night, right? Dad gets home from work, I guess, not early, and, you know, preps the kids for bed, put out the milk and cookies, kids ask questions about Santa Claus, you know, all that shit.
The stuff that's in the house, there's, like, a constant loud ticking clock that sounds it's right next to the camera.
Time is running out for all of these people.
No, it just reminded me how long this movie is. Just like this keeps going, and I can hear every second of it in my mind.
Now, did we skip over the part where the kids are watching this boring ass cartoon, and we think the feeders are gonna eat the kids?
Oh yeah, we did. Sorry, yeah.
Oh God.
Well, what I do think is interesting during that cartoon scene, or around that cartoon scene, the kids are like looking out the window and like they see aliens out there.
They see one of them.
The aliens must be everywhere. And they're like, what is that? They're like, it's a laughing elf. And that's what they think it is.
They
think
are everywhere.
These grotesque creatures.
The dad sloshes one with his car on the way home. It's sloshing.
Oh, that's right.
He hits a puddle and knocks one over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. He gets snow thrown all up on him.
Oh, God.
And okay.
Fuck, man.
Again with the basement, like, Dad and Bernice go down to the basement to get the presents, and one of the aliens finally rushes at them, but it hits its head on something and knocks itself out.
Right? Yeah.
Now, this is the prime example of you get the noise. But Alan and his wife are just like looking, where do we put the presents? And they're just like looking through old, like, basement junk. There are no presents down there. And then, yeah, Jay.
Yeah, so it hits its head. And Alan picks it up and he's just like, huh, this must be some toy that one of the kids have, and just throws it aside.
He doesn't even recognize
it as a biological being. He picks it up and realizes it as a papier-mâché item and throws it away.
That's what it is. It is a sentient papier-mâché.
It was rushing at them, hoping that Alan would kill it.
Please crush me.
This makes me think of something. Are these flying saucers these guys are flying around in, are they stolen? Because they show no, like affinity for technology. They don't have any Night Beast style laser guns or anything. They just run around and like make their shitty noise and just eat.
That's
people.
A good point.
Did they eat the owners of this flying saucer?
Yeah. They have high technology and they don't use it. No clothes, no weapons.
They spent all their technological points on that instead of other technologies. Because this is, the world is Civ. Civilization, the video game.
And you think if they had technology, they'd at least have some functioning fucking arms.
Well, listen, when God gives you spaghetti, you make arms.
This is sad, this next part. God. This made me sad.
Yeah. Well, let me, can I set up, Jay, what you're about to say?
Yes.
Set it up? We left out one family member.
We did.
We left out a cute, adorable doggy.
Yeah.
And this doggy has a broken arm. It's got this hot pink cast on. So it's obviously like a family dog that they, you know, just said, let's put Doggo in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's very cute. And then everything's fine because the movie's over and the dog lived.
Well, no.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to talk about this.
Okay, I'm just going to say it right out here. The dog is eaten by the feeders.
Oh.
But you know what makes it okay? Is that
then it's poorly shot, so you don't
notice. Well, there's that. You don't actually see it being eaten. But the feeder that knocked itself out before it eats the dog, when it farts as it gets up.
That is true.
What is with the fart jokes?
I think that's the only two of them, right?
But there's only two, yeah.
But they're weird and they're there.
God.
Hey, Mike. Mike, what's Santa doing?
This is my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, yeah, I guess this is a Christmas movie. Yeah. What? So, obviously, Santa's in this movie. It's got to be.
Wait. Mike?
What?
Surely you're talking about just, like, a mall Santa.
Is it a mall Santa?
No, it's a real Sandy Claus with an elf that's a full-size elf. And the Santa is flying through the air with all his reindeer, and he's flying through the snowstorm, guys. It's cool as hell. The special effects are amazing for this.
Everyone should go watch it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
God.
Spoiler, my review is watch this movie. But, yeah, he's just flying through the air, and then he's going to land on all the houses in every town in the world and give the boys and girls presents.
And is that what happens? Is that how it goes?
Nope.
I mean,
that's not what happens.
That's what he would do if there wasn't a flying saucer shooting at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're watching
flying
on their radar.
Saucer shoots at him.
Oh, my God. So stupid.
I can't remember. How did the aliens go from on the flying saucer to literally inside of Santa's face?
I don't remember.
Know.
They shoot him
no
down,
idea.
Don't they? Don't they shoot down the sleigh because the elf dies?
Well, they do, yeah. But there's at one point Santa's still flying in his sleigh, and the aliens are like on his face trying to chow down.
And
the fucking elf
and
is
he's
getting
screaming,
mauled.
And the aliens screaming, and they're both in pain, and it's just a shaky camera, and I don't know what this. I don't know how this was made. Yeah. It was. I don't understand how they did this shot.
This is where the movie just like went to another level for me. It's like, what is even going on anymore?
You mean that back to back with Alan and Bernice running upstairs to have sex?
Oh, feet don't fail me now.
Oh my God, it's so good.
While Santa's having his face chewed, she's like, oh, "Hey,
yeah." Then she's getting her face. I don't know. Sex.
So yeah, so they ate an elf.
They ate an elf.
The elf is dead.
They crash landed Sandy Claus.
I was sure Santa was dead.
Well,
listeners, do you remember how in the beginning of this we talked about the guy with long hair?
Yeah,
he's back now.
I do.
it cuts back to his interview, and I'm like, I had forgotten that whole thing had even happened, and I'm like, is this whole story part of the interview? Like, is this, because he's doing like a voiceover, and I'm like, is this a flash? Is the whole movie a flashback? What is going on?
It's a long flashback too. Like, this is like 7 minutes or something.
You pretty much get the entire first movie at this point.
Yeah. And then for a second in the flashback, there's a guy that looks just like Alan, and it is the guy's brother.
Yeah.
But I thought, I'm like, is it him? What's happening?
That's what I thought.
This is what the movie really missed out on. Chris, you had something earlier that you're like, I wish they would have done this with the movie. This is where I really think they had an opportunity to fucking go for gold with this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like the guy with the long hair who's telling this flashback, and then the dad. It's the dad. He looks exactly like the dad. Because it's from 2 years earlier. It's the dad.
Right.
And so they're going, they tell us this long story about finding aliens and blah, 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 blah. It's the plot of the first movie. But at some point in that, he kills his friend, and he says, I thought it was the clone. I thought it was the duplicate.
Like, there was a clone of this guy made.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what should have happened for this movie is what we should... spoiler, this isn't what happens, but what should have happened is the dad should have turned out to be a fucking alien in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been amazing. It didn't happen that way.
But you know, Mike, I gotta stop you here real quick, is that, I mean, I'm sorry for the spoilers, but what we get from this flashback is something even better.
What's that? Has
absolutely nothing to do with the movie you're watching.
Not at all.
It is literally just padding.
Dude, and in the flashback, the two guys, the long-haired guy and his buddy, they kill a man, and then they just go camping. You can't do that. Right. They hit a guy on the side of the road. They take him to a doctor.
They take him to the vet.
He dies, and they leave. They walk away and go camp in a park. We don't even need to go over the whole flashback because it really doesn't have anything to do with it. But like, there's a skinless woman, I think, in there, and they run around.
Yep.
And then at some point, the guy who's being interviewed, the long hair guy who's through this whole thing has been interviewed, he's sitting against a white wall. And at the end of the conclusion of his flashback story, he walks off screen and you never hear from him again. He's out of the film. That is
now,
it. And back to the movie. It's so weird.
Now, I may argue we do see him again.
Do we?
Because what I believe happens is he walks off screen and then Santa Claus falls off of a roof that outside of the police station, and he has to become Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, so you're bringing something to it here. Okay.
I think that's what happened.
Like in Ernest Saves Christmas, where Santa has to he's too old, he has to pass on the mantle of Santa Claus, and he has to find the perfect candidate to be the new
Santa.
That
is exactly the Christmas movie I'm referring to.
Yes.
It's not one that has the exact same plot I just said. It's something completely different.
So Santa falls on the ground and the kids see him.
Yeah. Well, that's true. The kid is on the ground.
The kid is watching him out the window.
But isn't this, aren't the aliens already in the house and they're making the terrible noise and they find Santa. The aliens find Santa before the kids do.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they try to eat Santa Claus, but it turns out it's just a piece of plastic. And they're very confused by it.
Did they start to try to eat the tree or something, too?
They're eating the lights and the ornaments and shit. They're just going fucking hog shit on this tree.
When your soul is in that much pain from the mere act of existence. Yeah.
They're trying to poison themselves with plastic.
Yeah.
They're doing whatever to end this torture. To end this suffering.
Chew on these wires. Something's going to kill us, please. But yes, Santa's outside.
And this is where the dad comes face to face with one finally. Like, he finally realizes that the aliens are happening. And this is near the end of the movie. I mean, most of the movie, nobody has any idea of what's going on with the aliens.
Yeah.
It's very, very sort
including
of
the audience,
segmented.
Really.
Yeah, including the audience.
But yeah, Santa's outside. He's dying in the snow. The kids are like, Dad, Santa's out there. And the kid, he's like, shut up, you dumb idiots.
Nope.
Santa's not real. Fuck off.
But it's really about this point where we really get to see the full might of the alien weaponry. Is when they start shooting at the house. The flying saucer.
Yeah. The saucer, yeah. Not the
saucer,
the aliens.
Not the aliens.
They don't use their...
No.
They don't use spaghetti hands for anything.
No. But they do have flying saucer guns.
Yeah.
And, okay, so, like, doesn't the dad help Santa eventually?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he eventually gets out there for him. He, like, the aliens, like, trap the family in a bedroom, and mom's like, what's going on? I was sleeping. I don't know. It's a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah.
The kids are like, Dad, those are the elves we saw. And he's like... Those aren't elves.
And, okay, so when Santa and Dad team up to fight the aliens, you had the subtitles on. When the aliens are closing in to attack, Santa whips out a laser gun and says, does he say Merry Christmas ball bag? Is that what he says?
No, okay. So the dad is sitting on the ground in the kitchen, and he thinks he's going to die, and the... I don't know why. I have no idea why the dad says this cocky line, because he doesn't do the killing. But Dad does say, Merry Christmas, bald head. And then Santa pulls out an experimental laser gun that the elves have been working on for next Christmas. So I don't know what the kids are getting next year, but they're bringing a fucking gun, apparently, that shoots lasers. But he kills the aliens with these lasers in a beautiful montage.
Merry Christmas, ball bag.
the effects aren't nearly as good, but Santa goes full on night beast against these bastards.
That's true. Yeah, it's... Yeah. Oh, and he somehow destroys the ship.
Yeah, like I don't know, Santa goes from one moment just like, oh, I'm dying, something shot me down, to blowing away aliens with a laser.
Like, yeah, it's
Oh, and he can teleport, guys.
Oh, he teleports.
I didn't know that part of Santa's lore, but Santa can fucking teleport.
Well, he teleports objects.
And he can teleport presents to all the naughty children of the
universe.
Yeah, I mean,
that makes sense if you think about it.
I guess it does. That's why he can reach every single house.
Right.
Which is good because Santa kills all the aliens, Dad's like, ah, oh, shit, Santa, can you save Christmas? And he's like, yeah, I'm fucking Santa, of course I can.
What do the really naughty kids get for Christmas?
They get a bomb. Oh,
are you talking about
What I love most about that is that some Santa had an elf somewhere take this bomb and wrap it up really nicely.
Yeah. Yep.
And then he teleports it onto the flying saucer.
Yeah, he teleports it onto the alien ship and it blows up and it's amazing.
God. But thankfully, this was all just a dream.
Yeah, Santa like does this like hypnosis type weird thing to Dad's face. And then Dad wakes up.
And it was all a dream.
He gave him one last present, though. He's like, you get this present, right? So then he wakes up from the dream. Sorry, that's important. Now, the question is, guys, was it a dream?
I mean, this is a real Inception type of question here.
I'm gonna just say no. Because otherwise, the last hour and a half of my life was pointless.
I'm not gonna go against that.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing that maybe says it was a dream, or Santa can just actually fix Christmas and make it better in more ways than just him still delivering presents. Because that is a bit selfish.
No, I will accept that. I'll accept that explanation too.
So because yes, the present that he gave him before he made him wake up is under the tree, and Dad does get to open it. Mm-hmm. So that says it wasn't a dream, but there is a dog barking in the background, which makes me think Doggo's still alive. Yeah,
okay, all right.
We got to say what the gift is.
Well, hold on. It could also, though, be that the dog was someone else's dog and just taunting them, because it was an exterior shot, and the dog's barking outside, so it actually might have been the neighbor's dog being like, where's my buddy? And, you know, isn't there.
That's probably more likely.
Okay, guys, what was the present? Who wants to say it?
I think Jay is really excited about this. I will admit, this is the best.
What does that mean, Jay?
It was an alien. It pops out of the box like a chest burster pops out of
God
a chest.
God damn it.
And it freeze frames and credits.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
God damn it.
Guys, if more movies ended like this,
I wish more movies had the sound design this one did.
You know, guys, Saving Private Ryan came out in 1998. Just saying.
No, Jay, are you sure you're not talking about Saving Private
Wait, Chris, I can't tell if you were going to say something or if you're now in existential pain. What happened to you?
Fuck, man. Okay, guys. Well, I think we've covered this movie, this 72-minute masterpiece for Christmas. So let's just get into ratings.
Rating time.
Now, Chris, you know we just edit that in, right?
Yeah. Oh shit. God damn it. Is that
we don't.
I wondered why it didn't. That never sounds like me. When
do
we
you
say
listen to
time.
The podcast after we record it?
I do.
Like, because we.
I
it's
thought
not
you. I thought you put some effects on my voice or something.
Chris,
no, it's Uncle Lloyd.
Like
don't listen
else.
To Mike. We do. It's totally.
Okay. Oh, fuck that you. Makes, God
like,
damn it.
I always do the intro, too, you know? Crazy Christmas.
Yeah,
season.
That sounds great.
Oh, what a holiday treat. Okay, guys. All right. So we just watched this Christmas classic, and I think we need to rate it 1 out of 100 screaming pinatas.
Nice.
So I hope you're ready to tell me what you think.
Yep.
Who goes first? Who gets forced into this one? Hudson, you started a little earlier. Let's hear it.
All right. Okay. Oh, God. You know what? I don't even know where to begin, really. I mean, there were a lot of pretty fun gags. Most of the stuff that was purposefully funny kind of fell flat, but there was a lot of unintentional humor on this. Yeah. Okay, that was funny. The alien design, as stupid as it is, it's fucking perfect. I laughed every time they were on the screen. Every time you saw their spindly little arms and their legs, I just laughed. Oh my God. But as much fun as it is, this movie, it's short, but it's so slow. Oh my God. I just kept checking how much longer. This is only barely over an hour. Come on. It's got to be over soon. So that's going to bring it down a bit. But, you know, I always have a rating in my head on this, and then when we talk about it, I'm like, oh yeah, that was pretty cool, that's great. And I usually end up improving my score, so I'm going to give this one 75.
God damn it! Damn it! Oh, that's fair. Listener, we're almost over. You're almost free of the sound.
But with the caveat, it's only 75, but with the caveat that everyone must see this movie.
That's fair. All right, Jay?
Okay, so, yeah, I feel sort of similar. Like, I'm not going to rate this super high, but I do think people should watch it. The aliens are funny. I think the reason it feels so slow is because everything is so disconnected. Like, you've got the random people that are dying. You've got the old lady, the priest, the pallet guy. Like, none of it really connects. The long-haired dude with the flashback, nothing really clicks together. And I think if it did, it would have been a better movie, I think. And also the other thing that kind of is weird is that, you know, the aliens are running around like the whole movie. Like, there's no shortage of alien scenes.
No.
But the family doesn't really realize what's happening until almost the end. So, again, it just makes it all the pieces feel too separate for me. And so when I was looking at the rating, I'm like, well, it just keeps coming back to fungicide. Like, it really has that level of that, which fungicide is another one you should go see. It's that level. There's no money in this, and they don't even try to convince you that there is. And that is charming. It did not have a theme like fungicide, though.
Well, we got the alien theme. Noises instead.
Yeah, you did get the alien noises instead, I guess. But so I did have fun with this a little bit. I do think it feels it's a long 72 minutes or whatever it is. So I'm going to give it 68 screaming piñatas.
Oh boy. Wow, what else to be said about this this Christmas classic?
Mike, where does this rate in your all-time list of favorite Christmas movies? Because I believe 95ers is up there now. Where's this
95ers is absolutely up there. Shit, 95ers is so good.
But Tom, where does Durham, this one rank?
Thomas Durham, that's the guy's name, right?
Yep.
Please, if you listen to that and now you're listening to this Christmas episode, please make another one. Please. Please make another 95ers. Anyway. There's Muppet's Christmas Carol, there's Ernest Saves Christmas, there's, you know, Miracle on 34th Street. Where does it fall in this myriad of beautiful holiday classics?
Did you just compare this to Miracle on 34th Street?
Oh, man. God. Maybe my least favorite Christmas movie, Miracle on 34th Street. Fight me. Fuck you. It's boring. Anyway, Muppet's Christmas Carol, number one favorite. Anyway, this obviously isn't for everyone, but man, this is a fun schlock fest, and I didn't think it was all that slow because it was so disjointed. I think it kind of jumps around and you don't know what the fuck's happening, and you're like, why is this old woman here? Oh, that dog's got a cast. Oh, the dog's dead. Okay. You know, all that stuff. And there's happiness, there's sadness, it's all over the place. You know, mom and dad get funky, and that's great. Moms and dads should still be fucking. You gotta keep it up. Jay knows what I'm talking about. What? Anyway, what? This isn't for everyone, but I had a lot of fun with it, and I think everyone should see it and give it a chance. So I'm gonna give it 80 screaming piñatas.
Nice. Right. Yeah, so, I can see your justification. Sure. Mm-hmm. Mileage may vary with this one a little bit.
Sure, sure.
But everyone should see it. We all agree on that.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, speaking of everyone having should see it, I'd like to thank everyone who came to the Native in Chicago, the bar that I screened a bunch of movies at monthly, and because we showed this one and Santa's Sleigh for Christmas. And I thank everyone who now listens to the podcast or did before, whatever the deal is. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming in. It's really fun to do this. And if you haven't done this and you live in the Chicago area, starting next month, January 2019, twice a month, the second Sunday and the fourth Sunday of every month, we're screening movies. And we play bingo with it and we have a lot of fun. And it's a really good time at a place called The Native. So come check us out if you haven't yet. It's a great time.
And there are prizes, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's prizes for all the movies, and the bingo's really fun. It's all jokes within the movie, and everyone shouts and has a good, jolly time, just like the holiday season should be. But we do it twice a month now. So,
woo-hoo.
Very
take
cool.
Take that. Easter. I don't know why we're fighting Easter.
If you're listening to this and you somehow have not subscribed to us, we would like to encourage you to do so. And if you like us and you find us at all amusing, maybe give us some stars or a nice review. How about that? That'd be a nice Christmas gift for us from you that would cost nothing but a little bit of time.
But if you do have a little bit of cash sitting around, there's a link on our website to our wonderful t-shirt shop, where we have t-shirts.
Yay!
And sweatshirts.
Yes, we do. I officially have to get those up before this goes out now.
Okay, well, we at least have t-shirts. We may not have
sweatshirts. No, the sweaters are up. The sweaters are 100%
totally there.
Up. Behind the curtain, this is like a month before this comes out. They'll be up. Yeah, and also if you want a way that doesn't necessarily cost you money to help support us, if you go to support.bmoviemania.com, it's a landing page that's got a few links on it. Specifically, there's an Amazon link you can click through, and anything you buy, which you're already buying from the corporation that is Amazon anyway, we get a little tiny kickback from that for a referral situation. So if you click through there and anything you buy, you know, because you didn't buy someone Christmas gifts maybe, or you've got some extra cash and you want to spend that for your thing, click through our thing. It doesn't cost you any more money. All it does is just give us a tiny percentage of what you spend. And that really helps us with, you know, the work that goes into the podcast.
Affiliate program.
Yeah, baby. Dear God. All right. Well, guys, I wish I had a song for us this year. And this is a real letdown even bringing it up, because I totally forgot that last year I sang us a special B-Movie Maniacs Christmas song. I don't...
Guys.
But you could still get that Christmas song by either... going to Bandcamp, and the link will be in the page, so just go to it. Or just listening after this episode, because fuck it, I'm just going to tag it on the end.
Awesome.
So you can hear the special B-Movie Maniacs Christmas song.
Well, I mean, since you dropped the ball, Mike, I think I can pick it up and
and
let us go out on a very special song for this very special Christmas edition of B-Movie Mania.
I think I know where this is going.
God damn it, no. No.
Oh, no.
God damn it. No.
Run the music. Run the theme song, quick.
Run it. Start it. Mike, edit it in now, Mike. Why are you waiting? Mike, put it in now.
I can't take it anymore.
What is going on?
Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Sorry. So sorry. I love every one of you, too, except for Hudson. I don't love Hudson anymore. Oh, goodness,
so
this is awful.
Pain.
Okay, start the music. Oh, thank God it's over. Ah!
That's going to be a great ending.
Jay, it's not even over yet.
No, yeah, it is. It's totally over.
I can't
over.
Keep it up.
Okay. Oh, God.
So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and all the other holidays and everyone.
And even to those of you who don't celebrate holidays.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
That was great. Thank you, Mike. That's the perfect song to go with this fire that we have here, this eggnog.
Oh, come,
oh, there's more.
Ye maniacs, praising the low bar. shit, so come ye, oh, come ye to be movie mania. Come and behold Paul, he eats vegan pizza. Oh, come let us adore Jay. Oh, come let us adore Chris. Oh, come let us adore Paul. Mike is your favorite. Oh,
well,
come all ye maniacs. Oh, come all ye maniacs. Oh,
I was really hoping you would sing Angel Baby.
I got way off key there at the end there, Hudson.